Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Aslam Patel, associate and attorney at Adams and Adams, and we're going to be speaking all things retrenchments. Aslam, good afternoon to you, and thank you for speaking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too, and thank you for having me on the show. Good afternoon to the listeners as well.
Aslam, this is probably a topic that deserves a two-hour discussion, but we have more like 10 minutes. So let's do a high-level overview of the significant issues in the retrenchment space. Firstly, is there a right to hire and fire, and can employers retrench at will under these COVID conditions?
Thank you. Importantly, the starting point is that during the current unprecedented times that we find ourselves in, employers are not precluded from embarking on a retrenchment exercise, but in the same breath, employers are not precluded from following the proper law as stated in the LRA or Labor Relations Act when it comes to retrenchments. So you need to follow the process and procedure as set out in the LRA. So the first thing is, as soon as an employer thinks that if he undergoes or wants to undergo a restructure and that will lead to a potential retrenchment, then an employer firstly needs to issue a notice, which is a statutory mandatory notice. Okay. That notice would outline the reasons why the employer contemplates the restructure. And importantly, when an employer contemplates restructuring, which could possibly lead to a retrenchment, those can only be based on operational requirements. And operational requirements are the economic welfare or finances or structural or various other situations dealing with the operations of the company. So you can't obviously decide to retrench somebody and follow the retrenchment process if the person has misconducted himself or the person is not performing his duties properly, or, for example, the person has conducted some form of insubordination. So this process of retrenchment only relates to the operational requirements of a company. So the notice, as soon as you contemplate the possibility of a retrenchment, you must issue the notice to the employees, potentially affected employees, and or the trade unions. The notice in brief would set out your reasons, the rationale behind why you propose the restructure, which could possibly lead to retrenchments.
That can't be a difficult thing to accomplish, though, in these times. I mean, you've spoken about operational necessity. I would imagine so many businesses who are suffering financially, you know, ipso facto, it is an operational necessity to retrench.
That's true, but obviously you need to demonstrate that they're actually in a position where it's either financially viable to go the route that it wants to go, obviously that there are operational requirements. And yes, with the current pandemic, it's clear businesses are struggling. They want to cut costs. Your highest costs are actually your labor costs. So employers, yes, it will be easier to actually justify the rationale based on the current pandemic, provided the numbers, provided where the business wants to operationally be, can be justified, and you consult on that with your employees.
Aslam, can you address perhaps the issue of forced leave for us? I mean, I understand that many of us as employees are very reluctant to be forced into taking leave. However, maybe from the employer's perspective, you know, that's kind of a very benign way of trying to deal with the situation.
Perfect. Okay, so generally annual leave is regulated in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And when it comes to forced leave, we must remember that in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the employer and employee can agree to when the employee can take annual leave. Absent such an agreement, the employer may determine the timing of annual leave. So it's very often, it's common practice in employment contracts where often the employer, there's an agreement or the employment contract often entitles employers to determine the timing of annual leave. And therefore, employers can compel employees to take annual leave either during the shutdown period, where it's common that the company will be shutting down for 15 days in December, and it's compulsory that you take 10 days of your leave during this period. So it is common that employment contract allows for you to take your leave, and the basic conditions also provide for that.
Aslam, we have a listener, his name's Gary. He's contacted us and asks the following. He says, what happens if an employer cannot afford to retrench due to lack of income?
That's if the employer cannot afford to retrench, but at the same time the employee is tendering his services, then the employer is obliged to pay the employee his or her salary. Unless, obviously, the employer reaches some sort of an agreement to state that business is bad currently, we not where we need to be, we do not foresee possible retrenchments, but in order for us to continue operating, agree to a salary cut or agree to short time. That opposed to work is supposed to working a full day, you work half a day and your salary is reduced commensurate to the hours of work, and or introduce layoffs, either rotational layoffs, 1 week off, 1 week on, or permanent layoffs. Now, those are all alternatives in order to avoid the retrenchment or to get to a point of retrenchment. And those are something that the employer can consider. And that would obviously, if implemented, could save the employer costs, where the employer can then, does not then necessarily need to embark on a retrenchment exercise, because it wouldn't have contemplated it if none of those alternatives are agreed to. Importantly, if an employee agrees to short time and his salary is reduced commensurate to the hours of work, then the employee can also claim the difference between his current salary and the reduced salary in terms of the UIF based on the UIF scale calculation.
Okay, that's interesting. So there's some sort of a safety net in place in that particular situation. Asam, generally we would stop here and I'd go to news with a song, but I just think, wow, this is interesting stuff and this is so incredibly important to all of our day-to-day lives that I think we're just going to talk you and me until news, which is another 4 minutes. So also very interesting issue, that of safety in the workplace and people's rights to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't think that my workplace is compliant. I'm not going to report to the premises, despite the fact that I have been told to do so. Where does the law stand on that?
In terms of your Occupational Health and Safety Act, generally the employer is under an obligation to provide a safe and risk-free environment to its employees. Now, from time to time, as the lockdown progressed, there were various directives that were issued in terms of the Health and Occupational Health and Safety Act. And the latest one being that it made for provision for an employee who is of the view that the employer did not comply with health and safety regulation. As a result of that, the employee, if he returns to work, would be at risk of contracting COVID. Now, what we need to understand here, that an employee cannot just decide while he's at home that I'm not going to be coming to work because I don't think the employer has the correct sanitizer. And the sanitizer does not have the correct amount of alcohol. So what does the directive actually say is that if an employee reasonably believes, and that belief is justifiable, that they are risk in the health, in the workplace, which he would be exposed to if it is not remedied, and that would result in him the risk of contracting COVID. The employee must then contact or inform the employer or the health and safety officer of the risk. They must then consider the risk and see whether the employee's complaint is such that it is reasonably justifiable, and then the employer must remedy it. Obviously, if the employer does not remedy it, and it is reasonably justifiable that there is the directive provides that the employee can actually withhold its labor. and does not need to attend at the workplace. And there are further protections that are made available to the employee in that the employer cannot then discriminate against that employee for raising such a complaint and for withholding its labor. It cannot deduct certain monies from him. It cannot discipline such an employee. Now, obviously, these protections can create some sort of an abuse from the employer and the employee side, where employees could just take it for granted that I will not go to work, and because I believe that there is no protections in place and the workplace is not ready. So each situation must be viewed on the case-to-case basis. There must be a complaint made to the employer. The complaint must be assessed and see whether it's reasonably justified.
Sorry to interrupt. We've literally got less than a minute left, and I just wanted to ask you very quickly. So if I am forced to go to work, or anyone is forced to go to work, and then they contract COVID, is there a claim against the employer?
Nope. If you contract COVID during the course and scope of your employment, the yes. compensation for occupational and diseases that comes into play. Yeah. It has now read occupationally acquired COVID to be a disease in terms of the act. And then if they accept your claim, you would then be paid out in terms of COIDA. COIDA would step into the shoes of the employer.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Aslam Patel, associate and attorney at Adams and Adams. What an interesting discussion we've had about COVID and retrenchment and all things related. Thank you for your time, and thank you for speaking to us this afternoon.
Thank you. And have a good evening, and thanks you so much. Keep safe.